The moment of truth. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually have video and sound. This is a good day. We've been studying in Daniel chapter 9, and I'm going to read a few of these verses, and then we're going to shift from the book of Daniel to the book of the Revelation. When you study the book of the Revelation and the book of Daniel, I would suggest having two Bibles. Having one open to Daniel chapter 9 and having the other open to the book of Daniel. The reason is these two books are extremely complementary to one another. They fit like a hand in a glove. And you will be able to unlock some of the mysterious truths in the book of the Revelation by using Daniel and by the reverse. And so I want you to follow with me as I read in Daniel chapter 9. We've been studying in these few verses, and we'll kind of pick up in Daniel chapter 9. There are 70 weeks, 70 periods of seven that are decreed for your people, that is the Jews, and your holy city, that is Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So you are to know and discover and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off, executed, and have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood even to the end. There will be war, desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that is there, the incredible unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the sacrifice that he made when he was cut off for our sins. And thank you for the promise that he is coming again, and for the promise of destruction of evil totally. May you bless and guide and direct us, and may your peace and your wisdom be upon us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been studying in the book of Daniel, and you remember that the book of Daniel, particularly Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, 5, 6, and 7, were basically given, they were transcribed to Daniel from an angel. And we're going to study more about that angel, the angel himself as an entity, as a person, and we'll study that in Daniel chapter 10. But before we get there, we need to finish up the passage that he is given here. So we kind of finished, I think, about this point in our study last week. We studied that the rapture of the church, well, let's take the church itself, was born on the day of Pentecost, and that's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 2 records that, and then Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 records that. The church has been a living body of believers, those who have put their faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone for their salvation, and they are unique from all of the Old Testament believers. Not unique in that they were saved in looking to Christ, but that they were unique by being a part of the body of Christ, that they were unique because they were indwelt, sealed permanently by the Holy Spirit, which was not true of the Old Testament saints. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. The church will continue, the scripture says, for a period of an unknown period of time until there is a catching away that occurs, and that is recorded in 1 Thessalonians 4, John chapter 14, and 1 Corinthians 15, amongst others. Many passages that deal with that. In Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus said, "No one knows about this day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." The Father has kept that time to himself. It is his truth. Jesus, of course, knows it now. He is fully aware of it, but while he was here, he had divested himself of some of the characteristics of deity, and one of them that he had put aside, as it says in Philippians, he had laid it aside, was the fact that he did not understand, he did not know the timing of this event called the rapture, the catching away. So I want you to turn to the book of Revelation. In the book of the Revelation, we have an account given of the church and then what follows the church. You know, I've studied many, many books about when the tribulation occurs, when the rapture occurs, when all of this occurs, and you can find it in virtually all of the New Testament scriptures. We could spend a lot of time going through those scriptures and studying it, and it's a worthwhile study. I don't discourage it at all. But I want to tell you that I have found personally, and this is my own personal confession on this, I have found the clearest and the most straightforward teaching about the church and its start and finish, and then the moving into the tribulation, the time of the Antichrist, etc., etc., in the book of the Revelation. I want you to turn to the Revelation chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, there is the beginning of a series of messages that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to the Apostle John. And he assigns to him the assignment is given to him that he is to take the message and pass it on to these seven churches. And the seven churches are listed in John chapter 1, 2, and 3. So let's just kind of jump through that. In chapter 2, it says, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds. And he goes on and describes the church at Ephesus. And he says in at the end of that letter to the church at Ephesus, verse 7, which is repeated at the end of each one of the letters, yet he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. So there is a promise given to the church at Ephesus, but the command is given right there in the very first part of verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this letter is given specifically to the churches, to Ephesus, but it is, in verse 7, it is to be distributed by that church, which it was, to all of the churches in the area, and eventually came down through history, and it ended up here on your desk. You have it. You have it. And verse 7 is, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So if you look at the second letter, which is the church at Smyrna, at verse 17, what is repeated again? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the
church.
To the churches. So again, these passages, these letters, specific letters, and we had a whole study on the seven letters to the seven churches, and those letters are all covered in Revelation chapter 1 and 2. Now, when we come to the end of chapter 2, we come to the letter to Macedonia, Laodicea, and verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. That's one of the strongest calls to salvation that there is in the New Testament. Verse 21, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, and I will also also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And there's that verse again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That is repeated to each one of the seven churches. Now, there are in the first three chapters, chapter 1, 2, and 3 of the book of the Revelation, if you have an electronic search, which I hope you all have by this point, have an electronic search, and you can search for words or phrases or whatever. If you search for the word church or churches in chapters 1, 2, and 3, you're going to find that there are somewhere in the range of 30 times that the word church and churches is repeated. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 are written to whom? To the churches. To the churches. It's kind of like, Bill, would you get this through your head? This is through the churches. Verse 1 of chapter 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what shall take place
after this.
After what? after these things are done, after the church is done. Here's the truth, folks. You can take your concordance and your electronic search, whatever you want, and you start searching in the book of the Revelation from chapter 4 all the way over to chapter 22, which is where the book ends, and there are zero references to the church. It doesn't happen anymore. It's 30 times in the first three chapters, and then nothing. In the first three chapters, Israel is mentioned, zero. In the last, whatever that is, 22 minus 4, in the last chapters of the book of the Revelation, Israel is mentioned over and over and over again. Does that not give you a clue?
Yes.
The church is not on this earth anymore. This is the most straightforward passage, the most straightforward indication that the rapture occurs at the end of the church time, that this point right here is the end of the church. The church was born on the day of Pentecost, and the church ceases to exist as a spiritual entity on the day of the rapture, whatever that day is, and it's getting closer and closer all the time. Now, my wife in our family is a great Bible student and by far and away the better object lesson generator. And she made an object lesson. How many of you know what this is? I see there's some of you that don't know what this is. And I have bigger ones that are VCRs that are, you know, like this, but they have pictures on them. They're videos. But this one is just a recording, right? This is a tape. And we all probably, most of us have these tapes. This is the tape. And so I'm going to, this is David Jeremiah tape, but we're going to ignore that for a moment. And we're just going to say that God has written this tape. He has stored on this tape the 77s that are talked about in Daniel chapter 9, right? 77s, 70 groups of sevens are determined upon whom? Upon whom?
Jews.
Upon your people and upon your city, Jews and Jerusalem. They're all on this tape. Okay? Everybody got it? They're all on this tape. When does the tape start? God puts it in the tape player, and when does it start? When do the 77s start?
144.
Okay, you're giving me a date. give me the scripture reference that when the command is given to build and restore Jerusalem, and Jerusalem had been leveled and destroyed by the Gentiles, and in Nehemiah is stirred up by the Holy Spirit. He goes to the king and says, I need to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And the king says, okay. And he says, I'm going to need wood for it. And can I take him out of your forest and cut down your trees? He says, yeah, okay, go do that. And so Nehemiah goes and he builds Jerusalem. But that is an important point. But the most important point is that's when the 77 starts. Everybody got it? The tape is in the machine, and when that command is given, the remote control hits the little button, the green button that says play. And at that time, the 77s begin. Everybody with me? The tape starts to run. Okay. And then we come up to this point after 69 sevens have transpired, the Messiah is going to be what? He's going to be cut off. And that is a term in the Old Testament that is used for a criminal execution. The Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Israel, is going to be executed? The Jews can't handle that, and to this day, they just don't know what to do with that passage. They just say, in essence, well, I don't know what that's talking about. That's not talking about the Messiah, even though it's clearly talking about the Messiah. It's not talking about the Messiah because that's not possible, so I don't know. It's just a mystery. I don't understand that. But here's what happens. After that point, there is one other piece of information that is given to this angel who transfers it to Daniel. And he says that after this, the people of the ruler that will come, not speaking of the Messiah, speaking of another ruler that is going to come, are going to come and destroy the city and the temple. They're going to level it. And remember, Jesus was talking with his disciples, I believe in John chapter 14, and they were sitting there and they were looking at this marvelous construction of the temple, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was a magnificent structure. And the disciples were saying, sort of braggingly, "Lord, have you seen this temple? Is it not magnificent?" And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, there is not one piece of this temple that will be left on top of another. It will be absolutely leveled." And that's kind of like saying that the White House is going to be leveled, taken apart, dismantled, not with bombs, because they didn't have bombs. But, you know, you look at that thing, and the disciples were saying, "Lord, we spent 40 years, the Jews spent 40 years building this temple, and you're telling me that it's going to come down? How's that going to happen?" But it did. And that temple was absolutely leveled in the year AD 70. And at that point, as far as this tape is concerned, that's the last point in the 69 sevens. 69 sevens, 70 sevens are determined. That's 69 of them. And he hits the little red button on the remote, click, and the tape does what? It stops. Pause. Still in the tape player. Pause. What happens? Well, we know what happens. On Pentecost, well, there's the resurrection. Daniel didn't see that. Daniel didn't see the resurrection. He saw this. He saw the execution. Didn't understand it. How can that be? He was not told about this. I don't think the angel knew about that. In fact, I know the angel didn't know about that. Bill?
The 69 ended with the crucifixion of Christ, not the destruction of the temple.
Well, it was included. That's a very good point. The 69 sevens ended with the crucifixion of Christ, but there's one more piece of information given, which is actually in that gap between the 69th and the 70th, which is the destruction of the temple. You're right, I misspoke there. That's a better way to look at it. So, all of this, the resurrection of Christ, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church, all of this period of time, which is now 2,000 years or plus, until this point of the rapture, all of this is absolutely not known to the angel. He is not giving that information to Daniel. It is in the scripture. Paul talks about it in great detail, and when he describes it, he says it is a what? Mystery. It is a mystery. I've been thinking about this all week off and on. I read too much, but I read a lot of people that have theories about when the rapture happens and so forth and all that kind of stuff. And somebody suggested that God lied about this interval called the church. And it kind of stuck in my mind, and I was thinking, oh, wait a minute. What does the scripture say about God lying?
He says he never lies.
He cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. He can't lie. It's impossible. So he did not lie about all of this in here. He just didn't tell Daniel. In fact, he didn't tell any of the angels. He didn't tell any of the prophets. He didn't tell any of them. It was a secret. It was his. Deuteronomy 22:22. Is that the right one?
29:29.
I'm sorry.
Belong to the Lord, and the things revealed belong to us.
Secret things belong to the Lord. There are some things, Lord, that the truth is, there are some things that the Lord has not revealed to us. And you know, I'm an engineer. There's a lot of engineers in this group. There's one. He's a nasty one. He's a nasty one. He and I are nasty ones. Engineers like to have facts. We just like to have facts. We only deal with facts. The problem is, God has not given us all the facts. Does everybody understand that? He did not give Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, any of the Old Testament, he did not give them any of these facts about this interval. Now, if you look, now that we have the New Testament and 2020 hindsight and the Holy Spirit to teach us, we can turn around and look back on the Old Testament and say, oh yeah, I see parts of that. I see little bits of it peeking up here and there. I see those things happen. You can look in the events around the flood. That's a beautiful passage. I love to study the things around the flood. And you see the things around the flood and you say, oh yeah, I see the working up to the tribulation. I see, you know, the taking away of the ungodly. It's, all of that kind of stuff is there. The saving of the righteous. It was there, but you couldn't, I mean, without the New Testament to explain it, you couldn't see it. All right, so let's look at these passages. In the book of the Revelation, chapters 1, 2, and 3 are all about the church. And then in chapter 4 it says, come up here and I will show you what things must take place after these things. Does anybody see anything interesting about come up here? He sees a door open in heaven, and he hears a voice that says, come up here. Does that sound even remotely like something else?
The ladder,
the angels, but it also sounds like the rapture. Door standing open in heaven, the Lord descends and cries out with a loud voice, and we are caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air. And where do we go when we're caught up together with him? Back to heaven. And that's exactly what Revelation chapter 4 says. After these things I looked, behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Everybody got that? Mm-hmm. After what things? Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, the letter to the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord says to the seven churches. Everyone is fulfilled. So now, chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. The church has been raptured. That's what happens here. And by the way, that could happen today. The church has been raptured, and God hits the play button, and the tape, which has been frozen at the end of the 69th, 6th of the 70th, 7th, begins to play again, and it is playing out the 70th, 7th. Everybody got it? That, I mean, this is absolutely fundamental to understanding biblical prophecy, especially as you intertwine Daniel chapter 9 and Revelation, the whole book of Revelation. 69 sevens occur. The tape is frozen. The church is intervening. And then the 70th seven starts when the church is raptured. Everybody with me? Okay. So now that we have seen all that, we're going to go to this one and say, we've had this happen, and all right, we actually have some time. The covenant is confirmed for the last seven. Would somebody read Daniel chapter 9, verse 27? Just the first part of Daniel chapter 9, verse 27.
He will confirm the covenant with many for 1 7.
He will confirm, this, that is, this ruler that is going to come, and we'll find, as we study a little bit further, we're going to find that this ruler that will come is the Antichrist. He will confirm a covenant with many for what?
1 7.
For 1 7. Interesting. So he's going to make, this Antichrist is going to make a covenant with many. And that means with Israel and with all those who are fighting with Israel. It's a peace treaty between Israel and the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at that one. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice of thunder, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So the first seal that is broken is actually a seal that produces peace. Now, we don't have to do much more than just look at the newspaper today and say what this world is really striving for is what?
Peace.
They want to have peace. And when the church is raptured, there's going to be chaos. I mean, just stop and think for a minute what the church is going to be like. I'm sorry, back up. What the world is going to be like when the church is raptured. What do you think it's going to be like?
Chaos.
It is going to be chaos. I mean, Christians in every walk of life.
Everybody.
A lot of engineers. But there'll be politicians, doctors, nurses. I mean, they're just going to be everywhere because God has His people everywhere. But when the rapture occurs, at that instant, every believer in the whole world, worldwide, will be caught up and removed. Bill?
Could we include airline pilots?
We could include airline pilots.
Fall out of the sky, you know.
It is going to be absolute chaos. I mean, when the Lord removes all believers, it is going to be absolute chaos. The rapture is going to be a worldwide catastrophic event.
About 10 million cars with no drivers.
No drivers. No drivers.
70 miles an hour.
No cabs. No trains.
The process of peace treaties has begun. Israel is they're negotiating with Saudi Arabia right now.
Yeah.
But they've already have some with countries I can't even remember their name. Very close to them.
Right.
Right. But not the Palestinians.
Yeah. But they won't. But those peace treaties are not the ones that we're talking about here yet. But they're sort of the warm up.
Two things. So there's nothing else that the Bible says has to happen before we're taken up. So it could happen today.
There is nothing prophetically existent before the rapture of the church.
Okay, and so then when we're all raptured, is this why we see the big push for aliens and alien abduction and all that? So we can have mass psychosis, that would happen?
Well, let's put it this way. You have to read a little bit between the lines here. So I'm going to get... I'm going to get a little bit out there. When the church is raptured, when all believers are taken out, the Antichrist, who is the one who stands up and begins to make a peace treaty, he is going to have to take charge. So he is going to have to point a finger and say, "They did this." Or maybe I did it. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but he is going to take charge in some manner. He is going to either identify himself or others as being the ones. Truthfully, as I look at the scripture, I think he's the one that stands up and says, "I'm the one that got rid of those people. They were the problem." Linda?
Do you think the people, like
say, that live on my street and Bill and I are gone, are they going to say, well, where'd they go? Like, are they going to recognize, do you think, that...
No, they're just going to come steal all your food.
Yeah. Oh. Because they know this now. Like, one of the neighbors said to me, oh, well, you and Bill are very religious. So they know that there's something different. So when they're gone, do you think they're going to think, oh, well, maybe they were right?
Well, some may not, but the scripture says that those that did not believe the truth before will not believe the truth afterward. They will believe the lie. God will send them a delusion and they will believe the lie. So,
and this will be the first time since the church began that there's going to be no Holy Spirit, no involvement of God actually indwelling on the earth. When we leave, that's all going to be gone. There's going to be no influence from God on the earth at that time. Like, he's still controlling what's going on, but his influence will leave when we leave because
yeah.
of the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Yeah, his personal, I think the right words there are his personal influence,
right.
Or influence by persons, is removed. So, yes, you're right.
You will have the 144,000.
You will have somewhere after this occurs, there will be a time when God will seal 144,000, and there are things that happen. We have, of course, the two witnesses that occur during the final days. But right at the instant, right at the time this happens, and for the first few days probably, or the first few weeks or whatever, it's just going to be chaos. It's going to be absolute disaster. And then this man stands up and the Antichrist gets access and control to rebuild the temple. And everything seems good for a while. Everything seems good for a while.
3.5 years.
Pretty close to that. Somebody read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10.
The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved.
Yep. Sometimes we hear people say, well, you know, if I see this happen, this rapture thing happen, if I see that happen, boy, I'll believe then. But 2 Thessalonians says, no, they won't. If they will not believe the truth now, God will send them a strong delusion so that they will not believe the truth then.
Jesus says that also, didn't he, when he was talking to Lazarus and the rich man? He said basically the same thing. And even if I went back, he wouldn't believe.
Exactly. What Sharon is talking about there is that in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 19, the rich man says, well, just send me back to my five brothers, and because they need to hear this. And Abraham tells them, even if someone rose from the dead and appeared to them, they will what? They will not believe. They will not believe. If they will not believe Moses and all that he wrote, they will not believe though one rose from the dead. Bill?
Linda and I were listening to a sermon this morning about the feeding of the 5,000 and what the reaction of the people were there. There were some, apparently, who really accepted who Jesus was at the time. But others gave up on him because he didn't continue as a... I mean, what better example of of somebody to have followed as the Messiah when they saw what he did even in that miracle.
It's, you know, it's a testimony of the total depravity of sin. You and I, if you have trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to thank Him for that. He opens your heart. He opened my heart. There was a time when I had no interest. I mean, it wasn't a case of rejecting Christ. I didn't care. I was not interested. But there was one Sunday when the Holy Spirit opened my understanding and I knew who He was. And I wanted to believe in Him. That wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit did that. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is removed, all of those things that happen that are part of our salvation where we want to believe are gone.
It's a book of fiction. Tried to deal with people left behind, and that's the name of the book.
It makes interesting reading, but it doesn't seem to fit with Scripture. The thing that's important about this first slide is that when this happens, when the rapture occurs, there is a period of time. Now, notice how I very cleverly did not put any timeline in there. Early on when I made these charts, I made these two events simultaneously. So when this happened, I said this happened. Since I have refined my charts, more importantly, I have refined my head. The Scripture does not say that. The Scripture says that sometime after this, the thing that starts this 70th week, the thing that starts it, that like back here, what started it was the command to build and rebuild Jerusalem. Well, the thing that starts this 70th week is when the Antichrist makes his covenant with Israel. And when he makes the covenant with Israel and the many, and believe me, as you look at the world picture today, there are many that are the enemies of Israel. But the point is, when he makes that covenant, what term is written in the contract? How many days? How many months? How many years? How much time? He makes a covenant for what?
7 years.
And all of God's people said, wait, we're looking for one missing year, right? In the book of Daniel, it said, 77s are determined upon your people, and we have already found 69 of them, right? And so all of God's peoples are ears. He that has an ear, let him hear. Are you listening for the 70th? Seven? You should be. Not that we're going to be here, but if you want to understand all of this prophetic stuff, you're going to have to understand how that 70th seventh happens, because without understanding that, you're going to mix it all up together with things that are happening today, and all it just gets to be a mess.
The Dutch covenant that he writes with Israel, what is that? What is that covenant? What is it?
Bob, you asked just wonderful questions, and I'm going to tell you, I have no idea. I have no idea. I can only tell you what the Scripture tells us. The Scripture says, He makes a covenant. I don't know whether it's written. I don't know whether it's electronic. I don't know whether it's written in the sky. I don't know how it's written. I don't know. But He makes a covenant with Israel for one group of seven. 7 years. And in fact, we're going to find out as we look through the New Testament, as particularly the book of the Revelation. The book of the Revelation is excruciatingly detailed about that 7 years. It tells you how many years it is, how many months it is, how many days it is. Incredible. I mean, there's no question that we can answer specifically who and what that time is. Let's see if we can look at this verse down here. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 11. And this is Paul writing again to the church at Thessalonica. And he's giving them, because they had been inundated by teachers who were claiming to be Paul, who wrote the Church of Thessalonica letters and said that they were from Paul when in fact they were not. But in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11, he is writing in response to some of those false letters. And he says, the coming of the lawless one. Now, who is the lawless one?
Antichrist.
The Antichrist. He is the one that in Daniel's prophecy, he is the one who is written about as the leader who will come. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, you ask yourself, oh, how in the world are people going to be so deceived that they're going to believe this Antichrist, who is basically Satan in human form? How are they going to, I mean, who in their right mind would believe that?
People that are so tired of centuries of wars and disputes between Israel and all their neighbors, those people could be easily deceived. They sigh and think, well, now we can go on to something else. But they're the ones that will believe it.
But why are they deceived? Look at this verse. Why are they deceived? Because they have counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. And they perish because they what?
Refused to love the truth.
They refused to love the truth and be saved. They heard it. They heard the truth. But they, what? They refused it. And so now, God says, okay, I'm going to send you some more miracles. Only these miracles are from whom?
Satan.
They're from Satan. They are deceptive lies. In accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. He's going to do things. In fact, we're going to find out later in the book of the Revelation. He's going to duplicate all of Christ's miracles, including raising somebody from the dead. And all God's people said,
wow.
Wait a minute, you can't do that. Well, there's great arguments philosophically. about whether he actually does that or whether it's a deceiving lie, you know, where people see something and they think they know what they saw and they didn't. There are some that believe that. There are others that believe that he actually does raise somebody from the dead. I don't know. If you ask me, I will quickly claim that I don't know, so don't ask me. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. The next slide. The covenant is confirmed. The last seven, Daniel 9:27a, 2 Thessalonians. And then we find out that the covenant is broken. If you look at Daniel 9:27b, would somebody read that?
For half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and suffering. And on the wing of the abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decree and is poured out on the desolation.
Yep. In the midst, in the midst, in the middle. In the middle. And in fact, we know that in the middle means half of seven, which, see, according to my math, is 3.5. We find that at that point, this covenant that the Antichrist makes with Israel is broken. And by the way, probably some of you are saying, wait a minute, you haven't told us anything about this, about the rapture. What's happening to us? Where are we going? Bob asked me this last week. I don't have this in my chart because it's in Daniel chapter 9, and of course Daniel didn't know anything about this. There is, of course, an answer to that, and the answer in many cases is written for us in the book of the Revelation, but also in the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, very good, and 1 and 2 Corinthians. Maybe we'll take a time and maybe a class time, and we'll talk about what happens to us on the way up, and when we get there to heaven, what are we doing, and do we ever come back, and all that good stuff. We'll see if we can talk about that. The reason I didn't put it in this chart is this chart is all about Daniel chapter 9, right? Does Daniel know anything about that stuff going on up there? Zilch. Zero. He doesn't know anything about it. And so he's not any help to us when we ask questions about that. So, Daniel 9:27b, in the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. There are two things that we can glean from this. First of all, before the midst of the sevens, what do we know about sacrifice and offerings? It's happening. It's happening. And where does it happen? In the temple. And where is the temple?
In Jerusalem.
And how is it right now? Not so good. Not so good, because the Arabs control the Dome of the Rock, which is approximately over the holy place. But that's got to go away. The thing is, got 3.5 years to build it. Can they do it in 3.5 years?
Yes.
Oh yeah, they can finish that up in a matter of months. They've got the material ready to go. They've got all this stuff piled up. They've got the priests ready to do the sacrificial system. They're ready to go. Is Satan going to stop it when they originally started?
No.
No. No? But what happens at the 3.5 year point? He drops the hammer on all of it. And he says, you are going to worship whom?
Me.
You're worshiping me. And if you're not worshiping me, you're going to die.
That's going to be quite a trick to convince the Palestinians to tear down the Dome of the Rock, their holy place, so the Jews can put theirs on in that spot. That I don't know how you could.
Well, let me suggest something to you that is not original to me. I can guarantee you that. Suppose there was a big earthquake that just happened to be situated in the right spot so that it all crumbled.
Well, then we're going to put it back up again.
Well, who do you blame for that? I mean, can the Arabs blame the Jews for creating the earthquake?
I don't think so.
So it's level, and who is in charge at this point?
Satan.
And what do you think he wants?
He wants the Jewish people.
He wants the temple built because he wants to. I mean, this is kind of an in-your-face God. He wants to take his temple and he wants to be worshipped as God in God's temple. So there's no problem with rebuilding it if there happened to be an earthquake. I mean, just saying.
Yep.
We all know that couldn't happen.
It's going to be the temple like the one that Ezekiel talked about?
I think it's going to be the one like it's talked about in the book of Exodus. Complete with the Holy of Holies and the veil of separation. I think it's going to be magnificent. Well, we're out of time. So we'll pause here, pick it up next week. Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day and for just the privilege of gathering together in your name. And I just pause at this point and just ask you again, Lord, please, if there is anyone here without Christ as their Lord and Savior, I just beg you to draw them to yourself. May their blindness be rolled back, and you, by your Holy Spirit, draw them to yourself. And should you tarry this week, may you grant that we would gather together again next week to study this Scripture of yours. We pray in Jesus' name with great thanksgiving. Amen. Have a great week.